Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and give us some feedback. Also, the Bald-Faced Truth podcast, it's brought to you by Shoe Mill, my favorite shoe store with locations in Portland and Salem and online at shoemill.com. Shoe Mill, where we put the world at your feet.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
We've been talking a lot about college football in general, recruiting in general. A lot is made. A lot of noise is made when a coach lands a commitment. Sometimes when they sever ties with a commitment, they say nothing at all. It's very quiet. Everybody kind of slinks away. It's like a relationship that's just broken down. I want to ask Matt Prehm, 24/7 Sports, who makes a living covering recruiting. How often does this happen? Why does it happen? So many questions. Prehm, thanks for joining us, man.
Yeah, how's it going?
Going well. I'm good. I can't complain. You know, I'm looking around the world and I'm going, man, feel for a lot of people out there that are having tough times right now. And we're talking about college football and it feels trivial sometimes, but otherwise I'm good. How about you?
Doing about the same. Trying to just get past the blurry of what day is it type deal and try to find the little things that we can celebrate.
It's Friday. No,
yeah.
It's Wednesday. So help us out with this, because you cover recruiting. You're in this world all the time. I dabble, right? I come in, I come out, they land a big recruit, we talk about it. But Luke Hill, 4-star corner, is headed to Oregon and then gets in trouble. And I believe Oregon when Oregon says, hey, it parted ways with this kid months ago. I believe them. But how common is it for a university to quietly part ways?
I think you see it quite often when a player hasn't signed. Luke Hill signed with Oregon. And so that was, So the timing of this isn't nearly as common. There are a lot of cases at Oregon, at other schools across the country and across sports too, of when just stuff happens and they just kind of part ways. Sometimes the school will allow the athlete to just announce it and the school is totally okay with it. And other times, there's going to be cases where nothing really happens. And then all of a sudden, the kid flips to another school and it's viewed as a flip. Now, I think where I have issue with what happened with regards to Luke Hill and his arrest, and like you, I believe Oregon, that they had parted ways, you know, prior to the arrest and now the booking of Luke Hill, based off of, you know, things I had heard the last couple of months. So I believe Oregon eventually just said, you know, enough is enough. We're done. The lesson to be learned here from, like, I guess, from a PR management case is if you've got bad news and you're parting ways with this athlete who is signed with you, go ahead and just announce it and come out and say, hey, you know, we've mutually parted ways. Make it beneficial towards the kid, even if you want to, from a release standpoint. You know, after talking with Luke Hill, we've agreed to allow him out of his national letter of intent, and we're both going in our different directions, and we wish him well. And that's going to stem up, though. Well, what happened? What happened here? And so people are going to start looking into it, and they might find some bad news, but it wouldn't have come close to being what's happened today, where, you know, because they didn't, you know, they released this news. Or at least that they stepped away from Luke Hill, everyone's going to associate Luke Hill with Oregon. And from a PR standpoint, that's where the mistake was made from Oregon. If they knew they were done and they weren't going to have him part of the program, announce that, get it over with. It's a lot like, you know, life lessons that you teach your kids. If if you made a mistake, own up to it, tell us, don't hide it. And then when it festers into something even bigger, now you're into deeper trouble. And so I don't think Oregon's in trouble here, but it's certainly not a good look at all.
We're talking about Prem 24/7 Sports. Let's just speak about the bigger idea. You know, ring ring and you know, damn straight and right. You know, we got a commitment. We got a kid who's coming, and then you know, and this isn't exclusive to the Pac-12 or any. It's college football. A lot is made when a kid commits or picks them, and then when the kid never plays, we're often, you and I are sitting in the press box going, whatever happened to, and we talk about Joe McGee and what happened to him, but why is it that they don't make noise when somebody doesn't work out? Maybe it's obvious, but
well, it's not good
helps
news. I mean, it's not good news. I mean, who goes to shout to the rooftops, hey, I lost my job? Like, you know, no one goes and wants to share negative news. But I think always getting ahead of it, you can kind of shape it to how the narrative that you want it to be, and you can get ahead of it and have, hey, you know, this happened and you know, we lost this commitment, but we've got bigger things coming. I mean, that happened a couple months ago with Oregon recruiting. I mean, Josh Simmons, four-star offensive guard, decommitted from Oregon. And, you know, there was a lot of excitement, you know, with the staff at Oregon on social media while they never directly referenced his name. You know, there was a lot of tweets that were sent out about when he committed, and you could kind of connect the dots there. And then nothing happened when he decommitted, and you know, rightfully so. But at the time, it was kind of like, oh boy, what's going on here? Why is Josh Simmons committing from Oregon? This isn't good news. And then, you know, Mario Cristobal, a couple weeks later, month and a half later, goes on a conference call and says that they're big game fishing, and that he feels like the Oregon class is going to end up being a really special class. And lo and behold, since that comment has been made, he's landed two four-star offensive linemen to replace Josh Simmons, and they're leading for the region's, the West Coast region's number one offensive lineman. I mean, Kingsley Samatia has 11 crystal balls placed in on his profile, and all 11 of them say he's going to go to Oregon on 24/7 Sports. So the Ducks, you know, 2 months ago when Josh Simmons decommitted, it's kind of, oh, what's going on? Now, fast forward 2 months, and they've got two four-star commitments along the offensive line, and they're trending towards landing a third.
Matt Prem, 24/7 Sports, is with us. A little bit of breaking news out of college sports. The NCAA's Division I Council has voted to approve voluntary athletic activities in football, men's basketball, women's basketball. They can start June 1st and go through June 30th. They're going to give it a trial run. This feels like encouraging momentum for a college football season that could happen on time, with or without fans.
Oh, it's encouraging. But for Oregon, it doesn't really help too much yet. because I asked Rob Mullins this question. He had a conference call last Friday, and I said that, I asked him, you know, gyms in the area are starting to open up, whether that's a fitness gym or spas, what have you, and, you know, training labs and whatnot. What will you open up your facilities so that the athletes that are in town can come to the Mo, can come to the Jocko Center, can come to the weight room that they've built for the football team and use the facilities on their own time without any kind of guidance from the coaching staff? And he said no, because they are a state school, and the state of Oregon has shut down all school activities, and the facilities, that any academic facility in the state of Oregon is shut down through the school year. So, you know, I think the University of Oregon's academic year ends middle of June. I don't know the exact date. It's just right around, you know, Father's Day weekend, and it's kind of when it happens. They can't have athletes in until that time.
Yeah, Oregon President Michael Schill told me last week it will be the governor's directive, not NCAA, not their boosters. They're looking at Kate Brown. I kind of feel like that was overblown, though. Like, I want to give her the benefit of the doubt, because I think there are far more important things than college football. But I think she was trying to be cautious when she said through September. I do think she'll reevaluate that. Is that consistent with how you feel? And I think too much was made of that nationally.
Oh, 100%. 100%. She didn't say games couldn't be played. she just said that any event with large audiences would have to be canceled or heavily modified. We don't even know what heavily modified is. I mean, I asked Rob Mullins that question on Friday of, have you been given any kind of clarification or more information on what heavily modified means? And he said no. And then he also said it's also May 15th. It's May 15th. We've got plenty of time to figure this out. So I looked at it as games still could be played. It's just fans at this time are more than likely going to be suggested not to be in attendance. And if fans are allowed in, it's going to be a very small number. And I still go back to going to what the Pac-12 was going to do in Vegas, and that was administrators, essential administrators for each team, the staff to run the game, and then family for the athletes. And, you know, that could be ended up being what we see in September, or maybe, you know, a couple thousand fans, you know, sparsed out over a 60,000 seat Autzen Stadium. But yeah, the idea that, you know, football was going to be canceled and, you know, these games weren't going to be played, that was so overblown. And that was just a quick shot of our society where on Twitter we read the tweet and we don't actually read the story and just come to conclusion.
Yeah, I think ESPN and everybody ran with the headline. Matt Prehm, 24/7 Sports, is with us. Okay, Oregon, let's assume Oregon's going to play a season. They're going to have a full season. I think the face of the team, for the first time in maybe the history of the program, is not going to be a quarterback or a wide receiver or even a defensive player. It's not going to be a running back. It's going to be Penei Sewell, the left tackle. Can you win big with your left tackle being your leader in the face of your program?
I would disagree with you there on the face of the program. I think Penei Sewell is going to be a big name. He's certainly the best offensive lineman in the country. But I think Oregon is, from a marketing standpoint, we're going to get some kind of graphics and some images and a presentation of 11 guys on defense saying, we got this, you're not going to move the ball on us. I think the defense is going to be the face of the team next season. Offensively, 100% with you, that Penei Sewell will be the face of the offense. I think you can 100% have a program and promote a program with your offensive line, your best offensive lineman being the face of the offense, especially when that program has kind of adopted the mentality of a head coach that's background is offensive line and toughness and work and everything that comes with being associated with an offensive lineman. But I think the face of the defense, I think the face of the program will be the defense as a whole, as a unit.
This is the Pac-12, Matt Prehm. This cannot be possible.
But this is Mario Cristobal's Oregon. This is everything that's upside down about Oregon football. Of that they're going to play in a phone booth, that they're going to, you know, play very physical, and they're not going to go hyper tempo, and that their defense is going to be elite. I mean, this is everything. It's bizarro world for Oregon football fans.
Matt Prehm, you take care of yourself. Take care of those kids of yours.
Hey, I appreciate it. You too.
All right, there he is from 24/7 Sports. We're going to talk about Alabama. They've got an outbreak, unfortunately, of coronavirus at the stadium in Tuscaloosa. We'll go to Joseph Goodman, who is the columnist at AL.com. He's my counterpart there in Alabama. He had the breaking news. He's going to be joining us coming up. We've got great sound. I want you to hear all of it, plus much more. This radio show will move fast. Leave it here. Well, we're going to do this big graduation party all next week for Alabama Adriana, who's graduated. But then it was called to my attention that next week is a short week for a lot of people. And I don't really feel like we would do justice, Alabama Adriana, by cutting you into like a four-day celebration. It should be a full 5 days.
Well, that's really sweet.
So I got to push it back another week.
Yeah, that's fine.
Is that okay?
Yeah, I'm good.
All right, she's good. All right, so for those of you itching to celebrate Alabama, Adriana. You'll get your opportunity. What we're going to do, if you haven't tuned in, is I've got one of our crafty web designers working on a website that you'll be able to visit. You'll be able to post your well wishes for Alabama, Adriana. You'll be able to see possibly her resume if you are an employer looking to hire her. And you'll be able to buy her a drink if you want to buy her a drink. Hey, I want a toast. I want to buy you a drink. I want to send you on your way. You'll have an opportunity to do that. You will probably won't be able to drink with her, but they'll essentially be buying you a drink that you'll probably go and buy yourself. How about that?
It's perfect.
All right. So we'll do that. And plus, you get to see all her graduation photos and all that. She did a full photo shoot. I believe she had the Sports Illustrated photographer take photos, and it was... It was a big deal, big photo shoot out on campus at Portland State. But congrats to you regardless. But we're going to push it back. We were going to start it on Monday. And then Judah Newby got in my ear and he said, hey, man, Monday is Memorial Day. You're going to have like a big portion of the audience that's going to be taking a day off. Is that really fair to Adriana? And I said, you're right. Plus, we're going to hear her just complaining about it, how she got shorted on her celebration. It's just really not worth it. Is there anything we're missing that should be part of the celebration?
No, I think that all sounds great.
We could even have listeners call in for a segment and be like, you know, we've just enjoyed hearing you on the show. It's not like you're leaving, but they would just get a chance to like, hey, celebrate. I always say that in families, like, and maybe apply this to your family if you're listening to this right now. I feel like in our family, we do a good job of this. We try to celebrate even small victories. And because there's so much in life that sort of drags you down. There are a lot of anchors. There are a lot of people trying to divide people. There are very few people who are there to unify you and lift you. So your family should be a place where you go, even for small victories. Let's say you got an A on the test and you're in the fourth grade. Let's say that you've completed your project and you're in high school. Let's say that you got an award at work. You're employee of the month. That stuff should be celebrated at home, too. Celebrate those small victories. Nobody else is going to do that. Nobody else is going to sit around and throw a party for you. So we're going to celebrate the victories on this radio show. That's what I'm saying. All right, our big splash comes at you every day. Here we go.
This is the one thing you absolutely need to know today.
Look at it. Where?
Down there.
The Big Splash! Brought to you by Sport Clips. Cut the wait. Download the new Sport Clips Haircuts app and check in.
Well, a little bit of movement in the college football world, in the college basketball world. The NCAA's Division I Council has voted to approve voluntary athletic activities in football, men's basketball, and women's basketball to start on June 1st and run through June 30th. There had been a moratorium on that through May 31st. Other sports will be acted on at a later date. If you're in the state of Oregon, though, it's really going to come back down to Governor Kate Brown. Michael Shill, the University of Oregon president, says he's on record that the return to campus will be at the governor's directive. So now the focus in Oregon, at least, will turn to Kate Brown and the governor's office.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.